Okay, let's have a couple people help me with the communion. There's one thing about intercessory prayer that I didn't touch on. That's about the highest form of love that you can ever express to somebody. When you lay down your life to pray for somebody else, that is the highest form of love that you can express. God, one of His highest forms of love is the Holy Communion. You're partaking with Jesus. You're fellowshipping with Him in such a personal way. This is one of the things that the devil, he does not want you partaking of the Holy Communion. You're getting very close to Jesus when you do that. And there's been a lot of false teachings about the Holy Communion. When you understand the freedom, when you get a revelation of the Holy Communion, you get set free. How many of you have been told to examine yourself before you take the communion? Ask God to forgive you before you do it so you don't take damnation under your soul? How many of you got frustrated because of that? Because you never could manage to get right enough to take communion? Every time I finally just quit taking communion. The devil would figure out some way I failed. But that's not what discerning the body of Christ means. Discerning the body of Christ is looking at that bread and seeing His sacrifice in that bread. Seeing how His body was beaten and bruised for you. Seeing how He took those stripes on His back for your healing. Seeing how His body, His sinless body, was pierced for you. Seeing how His sinless body got on that cross and took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us. He took it so that we could take the blessing that He deserved. Seeing how His broken body did everything for us that we could not do. We thank You for this and we receive Your healing. There's an interesting name in the Bible called Adam. And actually it's pronounced Adam, which means the blood of God. Adam sinned and contaminated his blood. And it doesn't matter what race you are, what country you're from, what color you are, we all go back to Adam. All of us. Jesus is referred to as the second Adam in the Bible. Because Jesus had the blood of God in Him. I said had the blood of God. He shed all of His sinless blood to set you free. He still has His flesh and bone body, but He shed all His blood, and that blood washed away your sins. And it continually cleanses you from all sin. And that blood has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you are in right standing with God. And you qualify for every single one of His promises and blessings because of what He did and not you. We thank you for this. Hey, Carl, could you reach around the corner and turn that fan off? I want you to open up your Bibles. We're gonna continue in Ephesians, but real quick, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. No, that's not it. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Okay. Where there is no vision, my people perish. Where there is no vision, God's people perish. There's got to be a vision. Everybody has to have a dream. You know, everybody has goals. They have something that they want to do. The church needs to have goals. The church needs to have a vision of what they wanted to do. You know, I had a vision over here one time, and I kept it to myself, and I just thought, well, that's cool. I'll have to wait until I get somebody that can visualize this thing and agree with me on it. Mike shows up, and we're in the building, and he starts talking about this upper-level balcony that's the exact same vision I had, an upper-level balcony in a kitchen and bathrooms in that big building and fixing it up. And that's not just so we can look cool, but here's a thing. We got a need in the community that this church has been personally involved with, and we've been shut down repeatedly. We believe in Tuesday School. We have sponsored it at least once a quarter every year, and now the people that seem to be in control of the Tuesday School have shut it completely down because of the COVID bug. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of that. I've had enough of this. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Period. It doesn't say that the just shall live by faith as long as there's not a COVID bug. It doesn't say the just shall live by faith as long as there's not a problem. The just shall live by faith, period. That our job is to minister to this community. Amen? So part of this vision is building a kitchen big enough where we have room to take care of stuff and sinks and people are not packed in there and uncomfortable and crowded. We could host Tuesday School. We could just move it over here. Say, if you guys want to play in the sandbox, go ahead. We're going to go ahead and take care of the people. Amen? I feel a heaviness all of a sudden. Now, last Sunday, I preached on unity. I want you to turn to chapter verse 1. This is Paul's telling us to walk in unity. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's telling us to walk in unity. Being in agreement. So I taught on being in unity, the whole body of Christ being in unity. And we got done in here, and we went in there behind a closed door and started discussing the things we needed to do. So the leadership caused the first schism in our unity. We need to be talking to y'all. You got skin in the game too. Because we're going to ask you to help in the thing. We're going to ask you to be in agreement in this. We're going to ask you to be believing God in this. But look, do we serve the God of the impossible? Then we don't need to be finding something that we think we can do in the flesh. I mean, Peter didn't sit there in that boat and say, well, if it was a mud puddle, I'd probably jump out of the boat. I could handle a mud puddle. Can't we just get a little closer to the shore? I think I could probably swing it. Maybe if the wind wasn't blowing so hard. No. He bailed out of that boat in the middle of the storm. The wind was blowing. The waves were big. And he jumped out of the boat and he started walking on water. Too many people focus on Peter sinking. I want you to focus on this. Peter jumped out of the boat and he started walking on water, and he got out there so far he couldn't handle it, and the only one that could handle it was Jesus. And he stepped in and he got the job done. That's why we are saved by grace. He does what we can't handle, but he wants us to jump out of the boat and go do something. Amen? He doesn't want us to sit there and figure out how we're going to pay for it. Now we're standing on the promises of God. That's why I made you sing that song twice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did he have any other qualifying remarks in there? No. Did he say that he could supply them? No, he said he would. Now, we're going to step in to a project. And we're going to do this. And it's going to take absolute faith. And it's going to take agreement on everybody's part. We're not going to just agree in here and then go to the coffee shop and talk about it and say, well, maybe we just cut it down a little bit and do this. No, we're going to agree that God is going to handle this. Amen? We're going to agree that God is more than enough. But the first thing that needs to happen, we need to jump out of the boat. Now, we're talking about unity in the prayer of agreement. You know, Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The key word there is agreement. It's really symphonio. That's the true word, symphonio. It means absolute agreement, harmonious in purpose. Now, what we're going to agree to is that Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's got this handled. Is there anything too big for God? I just want to know, is there anything he can't handle? So, the big question is, how is he going to do it? By his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. This new Bible sticks. Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's how he's going to meet this need. I don't want to ever in my life hear, he can meet this need. That's a cheap excuse for doubt and unbelief. If you want to play in the sandbox, get out of the way. Don't even get involved. Just get out of the way. We're going to do this. We're going to do it by faith. We're going to trust in God. We're going to believe him for absolutely everything. But we're going to be in agreement on this. 100%. Is there anybody that cannot get in agreement with this? Raise your hand. So everybody in this room can agree that God's got this handled. Amen? We're not going to beg the community. We're not going to have yard sales. We're not going to have bake sales. We're not going to do none of that nonsense. I don't need to learn these lessons again. I'm not ever going to have somebody pull up in front of the church with a pickup load of junk and say, here, I got some junk for Jesus. That's not ever going to happen again. If you got junk and you want to get rid of it, go sell it and then bring the money to Jesus. But don't bring your junk to Jesus and have him sell it. Amen. So we got a big project, but we got a big God. We got a big God. You know something? God told Solomon how to build his church there. He wanted to build a building, a temple. Told him how to build this. And I can't remember how many billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of gold and silver and jewels they put into this temple. Billions, billions. Yeah, but Solomon says, so what? Solomon wasn't born again. Solomon didn't have New Testament promises. We got a much better covenant than Solomon. Amen? So we can build this thing and make it look very nice and be very strong and be very quality. Amen? I'm going to tell you something about building something for Jesus. You put His name on it. And then you invite people to come in and say, see what Jesus built. If you're going to do that, don't build a goat shed. Build it good. Make it look wonderful. Make it look exciting. Make it look like something some old plowboy couldn't have put that together. Only God could do that. Amen? Make it look good. And here's the thing. It's about serving people. Does anybody see any problem with just inviting Tuesday school down here? I'm all about it. I know. I'll fire up that barbecue grill. I don't know. I probably cooked 15 briskets this winter already. I don't have a problem cooking. Is there anybody in here that can't handle coming down and helping with Tuesday school? You can cheer us on. You can be our divine guidance. Everybody needs an overseer. Now we got a vision. We got a vision of what we can do. We got a building that's basically just rotting away over here. Yeah.
Way before you ever came here, that's what I wanted for that building. Because we need a place for receptions, we need a place for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But somebody's got to be willing to do the cleaning and all that stuff, because too many people can't do all that.
No, but when we have an event over there, there's five or six of us that are packing out trash and cleaning, and we'll have that handled. You don't have to worry about that. Really? Yeah, because this little kitchen is a little bit hard and cumbersome to deal with, and in the summertime it's hotter than Pecos on the 4th of July. Yeah, and we got a building over here. We can go out there and do something with it. Amen? And when people start seeing you do something, they start getting curious, and they start coming by asking questions. Here's the thing, though. I promise you, nothing will happen if you sit and wait for finances. Nothing will happen. If you don't go out and start digging the ditch and start getting it ready, it's not going to happen. You got to go out there and do it, start going, and then God will go in there. You've got to do something in the natural so He can put His super on it and make it supernatural. Amen? Now, are we all in agreement that we can do this? Amen? Everybody? So we're going to step out and do this. That is our project. You might call it our mandate. Amen? So we got to start. And there's some other functional things in there. That carpet needs to go away. You know, we invite people in there for graduations, and people can have funerals and different things, wedding receptions, and they walk in there and there's rips in the carpet. You know, they were actually vacuuming the carpet and the strings got tangled up, and that's, no. No. We're telling God, we're telling people that God is a wonderful God that can supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he's a wonderful God that wants to prosper you and take care of you. And then they come into the building like that and they say, huh. See me. The cement, most of the floor is epoxied, but there's a strip of runway, and we got a plan to cover that with some really good flooring like we got here in the church. I don't think you can hurt that stuff. And it looks good. Amen? Okay. I want you to go turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. As I can do of myself, I can of myself do nothing. You should circle that. You should circle that verse. And this is Jesus saying this. I can of myself do nothing. That's a good place to start. If you think you're going to handle this, you're wrong. In and of ourselves, we ain't much. In and of ourselves, we're not handle this. But Philippians chapter 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When you depend on him, when you rely on him, he gets it handled. Amen? Through our own thinking, that may seem like a big project. Getting a big new kitchen, bathroom set up in there, fixing the carpet, making that thing look presentable, putting a balcony up there so we can put more seats up there, get more people, do whatever, get prepared. You want to believe God for the increase, then stretch out your stakes. Get room for the increase. Make it available for them. Amen? I once told somebody, I said, we need to fill that building up. He said, oh, that'd be over the top. I said, that's way bigger than anything. Well, he shot that boat right out of the water with the words of your mouth. Your confession must be the same. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Now we got this project. And we're going to do it, and we're going to win. But I'm not going to have this same conversation every time I turn around. I'm not going to have to go over the very basics of faith and teach it over and over and over again. Amen? Either believe God or get out of the way. And we're not going to borrow any money to do it. When it's done, it will be paid for 100% and it will be operational and it will look good. It'll look better than good. It will look wonderful. Amen? Now this, go over here to, I got notes scattered throughout. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Okay. Luke chapter 1. I want to start at verse 35. Well, this actually, I want to get a lot of this. Let's go to verse 29. And, verse 26. We're going to... This is like an impossible circumstance. And we talk about this at Christmas time, but do you really see what's going on? Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Understand this, they figured Mary was about 13 years old at the time of this visitation. "So you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Well, now that sounds like a pretty impossible deal. We're just talking about a kitchen, some bathrooms, a balcony, and some flooring. Maybe fix the doors. But here's this young girl, this angel talking to her, saying, "You can give birth to the king." And she had a legitimate question. She said, "How can this be since I don't know a man?" Well, that would be a legitimate question. And I want you to notice that the angel Gabriel was dealing with a man, too, at this time. that worked in the house of God. He was supposed to be one of the leaders. He was supposed to be leading by faith. He's supposed to be doing some things. And he started telling about this baby, and he started talking about the impossibilities. And the angel Gabriel said, "You're going to be mute until you name this child." He didn't have any time for doubt and unbelief. He had a big thing coming down the pike here. Jesus, his Savior, was going to be on this earth, and he didn't have time to play stupid little games. Things haven't changed. He's got a lot to do. I've been told ever since I can remember getting into the Word of Faith and going to these churches and listening to these sermons, people have been talking about this end time harvest, where multitudes of people are going to be getting born again. We just as well be ready for it. We just as well take up our place in this whole plan of God and be ready for it. Amen? I don't know how all this is going to shake loose, but I know this. You know, we used to have a thing in the rodeo world and the racehorse world said you got to be in it to win it. I mean, you're going to have to get involved to participate in it. There's going to be some churches that are sitting around wishing something would happen, wondering what's going to happen, hoping something happens, and they may just get washed away with the sand. I don't know. We're not going to do that. We're going to get actively involved in the kingdom of God. We're going to prepare for whatever it is he wants to do, and we're going to be ready for it. Amen? Another good thing that we can do with that is have that ready for an emergency response situation in case the power goes out on these people for days and days and days. We can have a system over here that stays warm, so people can come in and get warm and they can get fed. They can have a warm meal. They can go in there and relax. You know how much of a relief that is for people to just be able to go to a warm place, have a cup of coffee and eat something warm? That's a big, big thing. Amen. But anyway, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Now, verse 37, take your favorite crayon and circle this. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. But it's going to be him in you. Jesus said, "In and of myself, I can do nothing." We're the same way. In and of ourselves, no way. No way. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. Our job is to believe and receive. Too many people spend too much time trying to figure out how to make it work. Just jump in the ditch, get the shovel moving, and let God be God in your life. And stop the never-ending doubt and unbelief confessions. We're not going to beg anybody. We're just going to do. Amen? Somebody wants to get involved, they can get involved. Amen? All right. I got one more thing I want to look at here. I want to go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not just an individual, that's a church too. As a church body, when we come together in unity and agreement, absolutely harmonious and the same purpose, to the same end, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now we're going to pray, and we're out of time. Wow, it's already quarter after. Sorry, folks. Got a little long-winded. Anyway, we're going to pray. We're going to specifically show God or tell God about these plans He's given us, these visions of what it is we desire. We're going to ask Him to meet those needs, thank Him to meet those needs, and there will not be any discord in this prayer of agreement. Ever. If you can't say in line with faith, don't say anything at all. So, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over us, and we're here because of the blood of Jesus, and because of the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly to the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in time of need. Father, we thank You that You have freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. And, Father, we have a desire to be a part of Your kingdom, to be actively involved in Your kingdom. And we have a desire to build a big, nice kitchen with bathrooms so we can have a way to serve people, with an upper balcony so we can have room for more people. Father, the chairs are dirty and nasty, and we need to replace those. We want this to be representative of You. We want people to walk in there and see You. We want to be able to grow Your body in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, that Your word says that You will supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we know that it's by Your grace. So we don't have to figure out where the money's coming from. We know it's coming from You. And however You decide to do it, we'll receive it. If You send a guy riding in here on a camel with a sack full of money, that's good enough for us. If it comes in 50 bucks at a time, that's good enough for us. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We have coffee and snacks and fellowship back here. I encourage you to come back and fellowship. Have a cup of coffee.